In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, Happy New Year. This is the beginning of a new church year with the first Sunday in Advent. You might notice we read from Matthew's Gospel after the past year in Luke. We're starting back again with Matthew's Gospel. And we begin the year in Advent looking forward both to the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas, and also looking forward to the return of Christ. And so our readings today have a definite eschatological bent to them. There's a good church word for you. Eschatology means the study of the end times. And growing up in the tradition I did, they spent a lot of time talking about the end times. If you remember the late great Planet Earth, that book, or the Left Behind series, these were all talking about, you know, what was going to happen. What's the future like? And people have been asking that question for thousands of years. Our gospel reading today is set in that context. We started this a couple of weeks ago, actually, the beginning of the Olivet Discourse, as it's known, on the Mount of Olives, when they were coming out of the temple. And people were remarking how beautiful and how wonderful the temple was. And Jesus tells them, it's not going to last. Within your lifetimes, it's going to be destroyed. Not one stone left atop another. And then Matthew tells us that they came apart by themselves, Jesus and the disciples, and he's telling them privately what he was talking about. And he says that, you know, this is going to happen, and it's going to be sudden and unexpected. And it really was. The Jews' world ended when the destruction of the temple happened in 70 AD, the Roman legions came marching in and destroyed everything they thought they knew. And Jesus had told them that when the time comes, you'll want to flee and hope you're not pregnant because it's going to be harder to move. I didn't mean that to be funny, but yeah, it is. This was a terrible, terrible thing that their world ended. They had to completely rethink the way they did life. Their religion, Judaism, changed with the destruction of the temple. The whole sacrificial system was gone, had to be reformed. Of course, as Christians, we look back on this as a monumental point where we understand the true sacrifice of Christ. And that when we come up to the altar, that we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, as a living and reasonable sacrifice to God. Instead of sacrificing some poor animal, we sacrifice ourselves, not in a bloody, messy kind of way, but we sacrifice our will. We sacrifice our desires for the greater glory of God. We subsume what we desire and try to make it what God wills for God's greater glory and honor. And not because we fear God or we fear retribution or we fear anything, because we come to know the love of God in Jesus Christ, because we know that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God became incarnate for us in Jesus Christ, that in Christ, that God knows what it's like to be human, deigned to become one of us, and went through all those things that humanity suffers for our sake, even death. And not just a calm, peaceful death at the end of a long and happy life, but a terrible, torturous death while being ridiculed by people, by fellow criminals, nailed up next to him. He didn't die a happy death, but a terrible one for us. Because even when our world ends, we know that God is there with us. And then even when the world ended for the Jews in 70 AD, that God is still there. Every day, somebody's world ends. Some tragedy happens somewhere all too often. All you have to do is turn on your TV, fire up the internet. You'll see it in living color. Fortunately, most days, we don't have to experience that, but it happens. A spouse dies, a child dies, a mother or father dies, and our world comes crashing down. But still, we know that God is there. And even if for a time God seems far away, that's only our perception. God is still there. God has promised never to forsake us. And so even when Jesus is trying to talk about this huge cataclysmic event, still the assurance is there that God will be with you. A lot of people look at passages like this, especially in the tradition I grew up in, and think it's talking about the end of the world, and that all we have to do is hold tight until God makes it all come crashing down, and then God will snatch us out of it, and we've got nothing we got to do. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what Christ was saying to us. He's not saying, just hold on, maintain yourself until the end of the world, and then you'll be golden. He's saying that we are the body of Christ. We are the ones who carry on the work of Christ. That in the same way that we break the bread in communion so it can be passed around, Christ was broken for us. That he can be shared around. That each one of us can take part of that and carry it into the world. That each one of us can take our part as the body of Christ and continue the work of Christ. And we're not going to go out and cast out demons or heal people with a touch and all those miraculous things that God did. And if you are able to take a couple of loaves and some fishes and feed 5,000 people, the pastoral care committee wants to talk to you. But short of that, there's still work that we can do. We do have gifts and talents that God has given us and expects us to use, not to our glory, but to God's. I mean, all of this eschatology, all this stuff about the end times is a reminder that there's stuff for us to do and that God will always be there with us, helping us to do it, all for God's greater glory and majesty. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.